You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jenny.
Let's get started. Episode 22, and the winner is ... Air date February 27th, 1995. We're getting there. We're almost
getting
done.
Through them.
Almost done season three. I really feel like we're entering into the storylines that will make for finale mess. Don't you agree?
I can see that for sure.
Yeah. It's happening.
So we start this cold open off with Michael at the hospital checking his teeth in the locker.
Yeah, and before he shuts his locker, I have a still frame of him like just looking at his finger with his teeth all out. Like he's rubbing his teeth or something.
I think he was trying to show that he was picking something out of a tooth, but it does not play that way. So he's got like a little locker mirror. He's looking at his teeth. He closes his locker door and there's Kimberly staring from the doorway at him.
This is the definition of like lurking. Would this be a lurk?
You know, I think she's just kind of staring into his soul, just thinking what a cheating liar he is.
I immediately, when he shut the door to the locker and we saw Kimberly, I was immediately like, this is gonna be a good one.
So she says that she remarks that he came straight from the airport to the hospital. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, I called in and it's a good thing that I did. It looks like I'm on rounds this morning, which was different. Which was, you know, not my schedule before I left.
Yeah.
Leading us to believe that Kimberly was probably up to her old tricks, you know, switching around schedules. Mm-hmm. And with the intent of trying to get Michael fired or reprimanded in some way.
And it's like nothing happened. Like in Michael's head, in reality, he is just getting back from having like passionate sex with Amanda Woodward, and he's just like, oh, hey, babe, yep, good to be back.
He doesn't miss a beat. He's like, oh, hey, honey, yeah, I miss you, sweetheart. It's great to see you.
He doesn't give a fuck.
And she's not buying it. She's like, Michael, like, your little rendezvous with Amanda, you're not putting anything past me. It is unethical what you're doing with her.
She called him straight out for sharing the room, and he's like, the woman has cancer, Kimberly. Are you insane?
The last thing on her mind is sex.
Right. But I got it anyways. Because we went to an old folks dance party and I wooed her pants off. All right.
Now, Kimberly makes the statement that unethical is Michael's middle name.
Maybe they went to that dance hall because Michael knew, like, I'm so terrible that to get Amanda to think that I'm fantastic, I need to bring her around.
And like in comparison to the crowd,
yeah,
he's a lot better.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a 3. How do I make myself a 10?
Ooh.
Let's hang out with a bunch of negative 4s. And then
that'll just bolster your rating.
Yeah. Or like they were all very, very old. So he's probably like, let's get her around death.
Oh, no.
Let's get her dancing around death, and then I will take her in.
Well, Kimberly says that she believes him this time, but if she finds out that he's lying, there's going to be hell to pay.
And then she doubles down with serious hell. Like, hell isn't, like, first hell isn't serious?
Nope. The second layer of hell where Kimberly lurks, that's real hell.
Yeah. Then Michael, he's just like, okay, sure. And then he like walks out. Meanwhile, Kimberly picks up the old telly and puts in a from heart call to Amanda.
Now, Amanda answers, and Kimberly tries to play it off at first like, oh, hi, I see you're back from your trip. How are she's you great. Doing?
She's so good.
And, of course, Amanda doesn't know who's on the other end, and she's like, I'm sorry, who is this?
Keep your claws out of my husband.
She says, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mrs. Michael Mancini. And then, of course, Amanda's hip to this jive, and she's just like, okay, what do you want, Kimberly? And Kimberly says, I'm sorry you don't have a friend in the world, but next time you need your hand held, Michael is off limits. If you're lonely, I suggest you call 1-800-GET-YOUR-OWN-MAN. Slams down the phone, and then we have a lingering shot of her wedding ring.
Yeah.
So we know she's the one that's married to Michael.
What a classic 90s burn.
Oh yeah, the 1-800.
I remember talking shit to people and like making up 800 numbers.
Oh yeah, all like, the time.
1-800, why don't you call 1-800, you suck. Just anything. Hey, nice shoes, why don't you call 1-800, buy some new ones. And like people would just laugh.
Well, this was like the era of Hooked on Phonics works for me. Right. Like 1-800 Hooked on. There was and a 1-800 like number for sex. Everything.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
1-800-909-CHAT. That was a real one.
Yeah, I'm sure you know a lot about it.
Because 900s you had to pay. 800s toll free.
Oh.
Yeah. 1-900s those were like.
Enter your credit card, please.
$5 a minute. And then $30 a minute after the first 5 minutes. But anywho, yeah, she's like, keep your claws out of my husband. But I don't think Amanda played this right. Because this is her first phone call after, maybe it's not. But the first phone call that she gets about Michael after she's had sex with him. If I was her, I would have been a little more scared. Like, oh, did Michael tell her?
Why does she care?
Because she's just like, ugh, leave me alone.
Exactly.
But she's like, yeah, I fucked your husband. Like,
because she could at least be like, she does not care.
Yeah, I guess so.
She does not care. You see how she treats people in her life?
Yeah.
Does not care about other people's emotions or feelings.
She's
on the spectrum.
Yeah. Now let's head over to the hospital, Wilshire Memorial. Amanda's actually on the phone getting chemo.
And of course, it's a work call. Michael and another doctor come in and they report to her that her blood pressure is up. Even though she's back from New York after having this treatment plan set out for her, a lot of this stress can undo a lot of the work that they've been doing to cure her. So they are both recommending that she cut back her hours or even step down from her position and take a leave of absence.
This is news to me. Can stress undo chemotherapy?
You know, I'm not sure, but I've got to say stress can really manifest in your body in very negative ways.
But I feel like hardcore radiation is radiation. You know?
I see what you're saying, but from what I understand, and I've never undergone chemo myself, but it's very taxing on your body. And the more...
If you're stressed, you're weaker, you're tired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's harder for you to bounce back or fight or be in better health or spirits.
I see.
So, I mean, it makes sense to me. And honestly, I don't know what is so amazing about D&D that it's like, I don't care, I'm on my deathbed. I'm still going to be the president.
Yeah.
It's so dumb to me.
I'm just going to tell people I'm at the hairdresser all the damn time. And Michael makes reservations that Amanda doesn't know about for both of them to Royal Canyon Ranch in Santa Barbara. so that they can like relax.
Right. So after the other doctor leaves the room, Michael says, you know, I have to agree with the other doctor. I think it's very important that we get away. I've made these reservations up in Santa Barbara. We're going to leave like today or something ridiculous.
I would never make a reservation without first checking.
Well, maybe things were a little different back then. You didn't have those advanced purchase rates.
Cancel?
Yeah, no worries.
Now it's like deposit. See you. Penalties.
Well,
Amanda rebuttals and she's like, I have an award ceremony. I'm a shoo-in for the print ad of the year.
Right. And she tells Michael going away together is inappropriate at best. However, that I'm even considering it amazes me, but I'll let you know. Now, we're back in the locker room where Michael, of course, has to go to Kimberly and tell her why he's going to Santa Barbara. So he concocts this whole story about how Santa Barbara City Hospital needs residents, so they're willing to pay out the nose for Wilshire Memorial doctors to moonlight up there on the weekends. So he tells her that he's got to work there to earn some extra cash because he wants to take her on a 2-week vacation to Maui.
Ooh, and then he pulls out this like little brochure so that she can take a look at it. She's like, oh my God, Michael, this is amazing. And she is just like super stoked. She's back to smitten. This is what Michael does with her habitually. This is his move. Like whenever he's in trouble or like trying to pull one over, he gives her something or like does something grand. He makes a grand gesture, mm-hmm. and then she always melts. Remember when he proposed to her in the car, basically?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she's just like, oh my God. Like they were in a fight before that.
Yeah.
They were in like a big ass fight. And he's like, here. Come on.
He knows how to distract her.
Yeah. And she's putty in his hands. So she's just super happy that they're going to go to Maui after Michael makes all this quiche.
Now, let's go over to D&D, where we have Billy and Allison walking down the hallway discussing something, and Amanda shows up, and they tell her that there was some brilliant maneuvering on their part to save the Franklin Cruz campaign. Now, this is news to Amanda. She says, well, what do you mean save? Yes, news to everybody. Yeah. Amanda says, what do you mean save? When I went to New York, everything was fine with that campaign. And then Billy says, well, because of you, Amanda, you left without having a clear-cut campaign, and it wasn't strong enough.
And then Allison came in and knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's like, what do you mean?
Last episode, we were told that they sent over a messenger saying that even though Amanda is sick, they are going to terminate their account with D&D.
And I'm pretty
sure. What happened?
I'm pretty sure that the episode itself either ended shortly after or directly after. They're both just like looking at the screen like a bunch of idiots because they've lost it. Like our predictions were like, Allison's going to be fired.
Yeah. She will not come back from this. But somehow, I don't know how the heck she maneuvered this.
I think she slept with him. I think she read between the lines of that letter and was like,
okay.
If cancer won't get him, I'm going to throw him a bod. Let's do it, glorious gowns. Let's get glorious downs.
Except this is Franklin Cruz line.
Oh, crap. Whatever. Let's skinny dip on the cruise.
Of course, Amanda's not very happy to hear this, and she asks, well, did you submit my submission form for the Sentry Awards?
And she's like, did she do it?
No. Yeah, Allison says, oh, well, Amanda, with everything going on here at the office, I was, and then she gets cut off, and Amanda's like, oh, great. I can't even count on you to do one thing, mailing in an entry form.
And then she's like, I'll mail it tonight.
I'll have a messenger take it over today. Oh, no, you won't. You're going to drive down to their offices and hand deliver it to ensure that I am considered for this award.
And Allison's like, That's a full tank.
That's in Long Beach somewhere.
Well, then fill up your tank.
Well, honestly, too, Long Beach.
I'd expense that shit.
It is kind of far.
Yeah, but I'd still be like, I realize I'm an asshole about this, but I'm not paying for the gas. You're going to get expense. You're going to get an expense for it, regardless of how much I drop the ball. But she eats it. She's going to drive it on down.
But Amanda says as she's leaving, and you know, you can let it slip to them that I am very ill. If there's a year that I need to win it, it's this one.
It's very funny how much she's gone back on, like, don't fucking tell anyone.
No one can know. And now she's like, huh, go ahead, let it slip.
Yeah, let them know I got cancer. Oh, also, can you guys order that pizza? And if there's a wait, just let them know I have cancer.
Yeah, maybe they'll knock off a couple bucks.
Yeah. how much is that dress? Can you just let them know I have cancer? My pendant has arrived, so I'm a little
short here.
I'm making payments on this year. Shitty star.
Like, what am I going to do with the brooch? I am not 71 yet.
I went to breakfast at Tiffany's. So now, the next scene, we go to Shooters. Jake, he is talking to Sydney about how he is going to start seeing Jane. Well, not even going to start. He's sort of just like making it official.
They decided to see each other.
Yeah, we're going to see each other.
And of course, Sydney has some qualms about this, and she wants to warn Jake of the type of person Jane is. She says...
She's playing to Jake's what he's hated in the past, like with Amanda.
And I like how she lumps Jane into that category. She's like, you know, she's all flash with no substance. You won't fit in her world. Women like Amanda and Jane just use men as window dressing. She's probably made you start dressing differently, hasn't she, Jane?
Yeah, I bet she's already started. And like everyone knows, like she's not like, hey, you know, Jane's a bitch. Or like, hey, you know what? She's work obsessed. It's just like, no, hey, Jake, she's going to make you wear nice things.
And everyone Jake's, knows,
whoa,
excuse me, what?
I need my work boots. And
I need my flannel and my thermal.
And my wife beaters, and that's it. That's all I'll wear. Now, if she's going to try to come in here and change that, not for me.
So, but Jake is, he takes this with a grain of salt, and he's like, you know what? I think you're biased. Thank you for the warning. And she's like, yeah, well, don't come crying to me if that's how it works out for you.
See you in a blazer. Now we go back to Allison. She has dropped off an entry form to Brooke Armstrong joins the show. She is played by a one Kristen Davis, and because of my Melrose knowledge, I know that she becomes a reg.
Ooh!
So this is her first little debut here. She, if you don't know, Kristen Davis is very well known for all of the Sex and the Cities, the show and the movie. Journey 2 with Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, Dan's favorite.
Oh, I love that man. Couples Retreat. She is currently filming Christmas in the Wild.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
She was on Will and Grace. You know, she's had herself a career. And she, you could tell. Like, you can tell this isn't like a 4-day person or like a little bit character who's going to go away.
They're setting her up.
Yeah, I could immediately tell, like, all right, she's like stunning, very beautiful, and has some chops. So like, you just automatically know you're going to be around.
Now, Brooke is working an admin position at this award ceremony headquarters. And when Allison walks in and announces that she's from D&D, Brooke quickly peruses over the paperwork and says, oh, I'm sorry. There seems to have been an oversight. I don't see your submission for Glorious Gowns. And Allison says, well, yeah, I'm not going to be submitting that. I'm actually submitting my boss, Amanda Woodward, for her work on, I don't even know what the account was.
And how would she know that, like, oh, you should be nominated,
Dan,
for Glorious Gowns?
The ad world is very small in LA. People know what other people are doing.
Is it?
And especially if you're working in the awards realm and you're kind of looking at people's work and trying to critique it throughout the year,
yeah,
she probably had her eye on that.
It's probably very hard to be an awards coordinator of ads. Because the way I see ads is like they're either very bad or all right, you know?
Like, I kind of remember what that product's for.
Yeah.
Like, what that was for.
But separating like first, second, and third, I feel like they're all just on the same level.
Well, it's not your business. I mean,
yeah, I'm not an awards coordinator.
Yeah, you're not Brooke Armstrong.
No.
So she basically talks Allison into submitting an entry form for her. And she says, you know, a nomination or an honorable mention is as good as gold in this business. And you really did some great work on that campaign. You should be recognized for it.
Just a nomination.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. And you know what? Usually all of the entry forms do require the president's signature from the company that you're with, but I'm going to let it slide. I mean, I know everybody on the committee, and I'll just get you nominated.
And then she's doing all of this nice stuff, and then later she, like, slides in. Oh, I'm, like, just kind of doing this as, like, a thing for a filler, but I really want to get into an ad agency of my own. And I know that you are, like, so smart and awesome. Is it cool if I pick your brain? Blaine? Is it cool if I pick your brain? Over lunch? And Allison, of course, is like, she's like smitten.
Like flattered. And she says, yeah, okay, that'll be fine.
So, yeah, sure. So they are going to have lunch. And now Amanda, back at D&D, calls Allison and Billy in about the fact that she doesn't have the energy and she's going to go out of town on this retreat. Does she say it's with? No, she doesn't say it's with Michael.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She says, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a relaxing getaway up to the Royal Canyon Ranch in Santa Barbara. Now, this impresses Allison, and she says, oh, Royal Canyon Ranch. Wow, yeah. That's a nice hotel.
That's where me and my rocker boyfriend did a whole bunch of cocaine.
And Amanda says, well, that it's relaxing and quiet is all I care about because I just don't have the energy that I used to have. I need to take a little bit of time. Next week, I'm going to be working primarily from my apartment. So the two of you are going to have to step up.
Yeah, she's like, I really need you guys to step it up.
And I hope you can function better as a team than you did as a couple.
Oh, what a shot. What a shot. And it's always like, when she returns from somewhere, Billy and Allison have, like, destroyed the company every time in Amanda's eyes.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the hell she still relies on them. Just hire Chaz.
Where's Chaz when you need him?
Chaz-Ann.
So, of course, Allison, and I love how Allison and Billy are just like, well, she has cancer, so we have to give her a pass.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that she says to them are like fireable offenses.
That's really
good.
Go
to HR. She's a straight up bitch to them.
I hope you guys aren't idiots this time.
And then Allison is like, I think I speak for both of us, Amanda, that we say that we're going to do our absolute best. You can count on it. And then she's like, Amanda says, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Oh my
like she's
God.
Such a jerk.
Such a dick. And I was thinking, like, as Billy in this situation, like, he's in this, like, hardcore meeting with two women that he's basically been near marriage with. And he's had sex with both of these women. He's had almost had a baby with one and was like,
left at the altar
was left
by
at the altar with the other one. Like, this is so awkward. I would feel so awkward to work with both of these people.
Oh, that's for Billy, Dad. It's just a regular Tuesday.
Billy's just like, I can work hand in hand with my ex-fiance and be the underling of a woman I lived with who had a miscarriage with my child. Are you out of your mind? Do you know how absolutely insane that is?
Yes, I do.
I would find another.
But that's why
job.
I love it.
I do love it. I don't get me wrong. I thoroughly enjoy this, but Jesus, man, I would get another job.
We cut to Jane and Jake coming back into the Melrose Place courtyard. It's late night. They've been out at a very fancy affair. Jake is in a tuxedo.
All jazzed up.
Looking good. Jane's got a little black dress on. They're out in the courtyard. They're talking about the time they had. Oh, what did you think? Did you have fun tonight? And Jake makes a joke where he's like, well, the room we were in had more ice sculptures than people. And they're laughing and yucking it up. And then it gets a little serious when Jane is like, well, Jake, this tuxedo's really working for you.
And then she takes off his tie, and they start making out hard.
Now, the camera pans up, and then that's when we see Sydney just standing behind
the window.
Yeah, she's like behind those terrible old blinds that are from the 90s.
It's a great shot.
And
of
she's
like,
just like standing there behind the blinds, arms looking down crossed. On them like, I am plotting your death.
And Jake has a very strong jawline.
I love that you noticed that.
He really does.
The tuxedo really brings out your jawline, Jake.
Well, and then like they always get him making out where like he's turning his head to the right. So you can always see like under, you know? And he like he really like attacks that face. You know?
He's just getting it.
He's just he's a very passionate man.
You know what else was passionate, Dan? This next scene.
And Jane's side boob?
Oh, I didn't catch that, but underwear inspector.
Oh, no, not this scene. No, so. This is the... If both of these were ads, this one would lose.
Okay, so we go to Allison and Billy, and I think they're at Allison's apartment. And of course, because they've been having to step in for Amanda, they've got a lot of late nights working together. They are like the number one and number two at the company now that Amanda is away. So it's all up to them.
And they should be so fat because anytime they have to work, they order like a shitload of Chinese.
And it's so much. So it's 11 p.m. They're eating Chinese food with chopsticks because they're very progressive.
No one does that.
And Allison is having some kung pao and she's like really good or slippery shrimp, I think.
Yeah, she's got the slippery shrimp. What?
And then,
is that a thing?
You know what? I've never heard of it, but
I have the slippery
shit. I'm not as cultured as Billy and Allison. And then Billy is like, ooh, how's that slippery shrimp? And she's like, go ahead, have some. So he starts eating out of her Chinese food carton. And then he's like, you want
some kung pao?
You want some kung pao chicken? And she's like, okay, sure. But he then takes his chopsticks and feeds her the piece of kung pao.
They both feed each other.
And they're like, And then she's like, oh my gosh, that's so good. And he's like, here, have another piece. And then he like...
Lady and the Tramp bullshit.
No, it's not Lady and the Tramp.
Almost.
He like puts it in her, like tries to feed her and then like fakes her out and like puts it away. And then, like he gets his face really close to her face. And then he like pretends like he's going to eat it. And then like he lets her eat it. And then like as she's chewing it, he starts making out with her with the Kung Pao chicken halfway chewed up in her mouth.
It is. And this is like not. As a man, you know, you need to be a little smooth. Like, I appreciate what he was trying to do, but, like, after he gives her the first bite, he leans close, and it's robotic. And then he's like, have another bite. And then he leans even more close, but then he, like, backs away a little bit. And then he's like, and then like the chopsticks kind of
move. Am I gonna do it?
Right. And then it's as if he's almost like stealing it, like stealing the kiss. Like, no, you just be like cute, like coy about it. But this is such a disgusting scene because all I can think about is that Allison is not done eating.
Oh, me too, Dan. That's all I can think of.
And he is all up in there. It's tongue, and kung pao.
She loves it. She's like into it. They're like going at it. And then we cut away and we can only assume that they went the distance.
Oh, yeah. They get this all over with freaking Chinese food again.
So there's a knock on Jane's door and it's Sydney and it's the same night and Jane's like, oh, hey, Sydney, what's up? And she's like, oh, not much. Only that I have a major problem with you dating Jake.
I respect this.
I do too. And Sydney says,
yeah, no one's as direct.
Sydney is like, look, if our relationship means anything to you, you'll stop. And Jane just kind of laughs this off. She's like, who are you to tell me who I can and cannot see? And honestly, how long were you with Jake? Like 10 minutes? And Sydney's like, it doesn't matter how long I was with him. I am in love with him, Jane. I finally found a guy who's good for me, and all you can do is bulldoze over me.
Stalker. And then she tells her straight up, just remember, all is fair in love and war, and this will be war.
Ta-da! So it's like, yeah.
But I'm like, bro, you work for Jake, Sydney. Like, it won't be war. If it is war, you could get fired.
No, it's, Dan, you don't know the ways of the woman. Okay?
It's war.
It's not war with Jake. It's, oh, I'm going to outdo you, bitch, and I'm going to get him. He's not even going to know it's happening.
It's so weird. Would you even consider dating or having sex with, like, your sister's ex?
Absolutely not, but let's, like, look just a little bit further into the past here. Remember when freaking Sydney married Michael? I mean, if anybody...
Yeah, I guess this is softer.
Like, okay, so I have to commend Sydney for coming to her sister and saying, I don't like you dating him.
Yeah.
That's great. I appreciate people that are upfront, that are honest about their feelings. But at the same time, how does she have a leg to stand on? Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
You cheated with my husband and then freaking married him.
It's sort of the ultimate wild draw four card.
No, it's like basically every boyfriend that Jane has ever had, Sydney has sabotaged. So you know what, Sid? A little bit of taste of your own medicine, honey.
Mm-hmm.
That's life. Sorry.
Yeah. So now we go to Michael and Amanda. They are in Santa Barbara, ready to relax. And they show up at the hotel. And this is, I noticed that this is the same hotel that Billy and Allison banged at for the first time.
And I'm an everlasting love.
Take me to that everlasting love.
Guys, because we have the DVDs of Melrose Place.
You're the one I'm dreaming of.
So they're all like these really old weird songs that never appeared in the actual airings of the show.
But I love them.
Yeah, and so Everlasting Love has been used a couple times.
Take me to that everlasting love.
Who could forget? Who could forget their first hookup? But you were totally right. It looks exactly the same. I think that was supposed to be in Palm Springs. Ooh, little slip up.
Yeah.
Ooh, little continuity error.
So they're there, and they're not even there for like 5 minutes, and Michael already leans in to make out.
Right, but he is wanting to kind of justify to Amanda about his marriage to Kimberly. Because at first, Amanda tries to be like, look, I'm here to only relax. And it's like, Oh, bullshit, Amanda. You guys are sharing a room again. You're not there to just relax. Get over it. You're there because this guy had like shows some kind of interest in you. It's fun. It's exciting. And you like the attention.
Yeah.
And she's trying to be like, but what about your wife? And Michael goes into this whole explanation about like, you know, Kimberly wants kids and I don't. And, you know, that's really kind of put a block between us and we're just going through the motions now. We're not even a couple.
Such a fucking liar.
Yeah.
Such a dirty liar.
And then he's like, I am really looking for a woman that's my equal. Someone who cares about their career as much as I do.
Yeah.
And this impresses Amanda.
Not someone who's going to emerge from like the ocean and like scare me at every corner. I need someone who's not going to like steal children in the night.
And so
I need someone with, you know, less prescriptions in her name.
So that's when Amanda's like, oh, wow, you never hear that. You never hear a man that wants someone to be his equal. And then Michael sneaks a little kiss. And then that's when she's like, this is going to be strictly professional. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Just had to get that out of my system.
Yeah, sure. Just had
to. Okay. Got to get that out of my system. Okay.
Meanwhile, he should pull like a Peter and just like grab her by the hair and be like, tell me the three weaknesses.
And then she would really respond to that.
Yeah. This is your first test of the game. Your game versus cancer.
Now, we head over to D&D where Billy and Allison are in their little cubicle area. And they're talking about last night. And of course, Allison is trying to like talk herself out of it. And she's like, look, last night it was familiar. I mean, we were in an environment that we both shared together. And it was only natural to feel like we should kiss and we should hook up. And then Billy just immediately kisses her. And he's like, well, trying to psychoanalyze that, huh?
Yeah, he just leaps up. And, like, puts a big smooch on her.
Mm-hmm.
What? Because that isn't a place that they would normally kiss?
Yeah. So he's just trying to be like, I really like you.
I'll do it anywhere.
And then Allison is like, well, I'm late for lunch. I got to go meet this girl, Brooke, that is part of the awards ceremony committee person. Yeah.
So, man, I'm just, hurry up. Just hurry up. Get back together so you can break up. Please.
Okay.
Keep doing it.
Next up, we are with Brooke and Allison, and they're at lunch, and Brooke is regaling Allison about her work history. So she was at an ad agency, and she was working for a woman who she felt like was trying to really keep her down. She wasn't playing on her same team, and she was trying to kind of like find that common ground with Allison by saying, you know, I feel like in this business, women don't help each other enough.
Yeah.
They're just out to get one another. They just want to one-up each other. Do you find that in this industry?
And she, of course, this is resonating with Allison. She's like, fuck yeah. Of course I see this shit.
No, and then this is probably Allison's opportunity where she's like, you know what? I'm going to break the pattern. You know, we have an intern that's going to be leaving and there's a position that's open. Now, it's only 3 days a week and I think it's like, it's unpaid. It's like the shittiest terms ever.
She's like, when can I start?
He's like, but
I've been working in Long Beach.
It'll be a start.
Fucking time.
So yeah, I live in the South Bay area, but let me just commute into Century City or wherever you are every
for
day.
For nothing. For nothing, 3 days a week.
So she's very excited about this, and Brooke is like, oh, that's great. And Allison is like, yeah, you got it. Anytime, girl. I'm your pal.
Anytime, sister. We look out for each other. Now, great scene.
Oh, the best.
So good. Like, whoever realized that Matt and Kimberly have this kind of playful, fighty chemistry.
They're like little cat fights.
Genius.
Yeah, and this dialogue is awesome.
It's perfect. So we go to the Wilshire Memorial at the hospital. Matt he's always busy as shit at this hospital. And him and Kimberly both like have the same style clipboards of like work that they need to like look over. So they're both doing that. And Matt asks for Michael, but Kimberly's like, oh, hi, Matt. Yeah, he's not available. And it's a cordial fight where they're like throwing insults at each other, but doing it in a manner in which is very polite.
Yeah. Right? And then she says, oh, Matt, I heard you got into some hot water with the guy who took you hostage. You know, you really have to be more careful with who you run after. And then Matt hits her with, speaking of desperate men, where's your husband again?
He's working at a hospital for extra cash. And then Matt's like, oh, yeah, don't flip your wig or anything. But that program Michael was talking about, it's been canceled for a year.
And then Kimberly's face is freaking gold.
She's mortified.
I love Marcia Cross so much. Watching this, and you know, I can't say that I've really seen her consistently in any other show. I did not watch Desperate Housewives, mm-hmm. but like she has such range. And I'm telling you, when she is like pissed off, if someone gets her, it's like she gives that like, like yeah. that, I'm going to kill you.
She gets super mad. She goes into crow mode.
It's so good. So it's her so face good. Is amazing.
So Matt wins this round, you know? And she goes off in shame and now realizes that Michael has done it again.
Again. Foiled again. Once a dog, always a dog.
Now we go to D&D. Joe, I don't know who picked this outfit for Joe, but she shows up in like stripper pink, like fluffy, like weird sweater. This is not Joe Reynolds' clothes, you know? Could you see season one Joe
wearing now that you mention
anything
it,
near
I,
this?
No, I did not catch that, but now that you're saying that, this wardrobe is very outside of her character.
And her hair. It's just like, what? I mean, I guess she's wearing this like flower printed probably skirt or like flowy dress, which is something that Joe would wear these days, like maternity Joe.
But she does have on this hot pink sweater that's really like outside of what she would normally wear.
Yeah.
Joe reminds me like her wardrobe comes straight from The Craft.
Yeah.
Like if the girls in The Craft would wear it, like that's what she would wear.
Joe wears what Kimberly should to match her like
personality,
spirits,
yeah,
and powers. But so they're discussing some more amazing photos that Joe has taken, and Allison gets to it, but she reveals that yet again that Amanda has freaking cancer.
Right, so she because, you know, I think she has some authority to tell people now that she was in, she's been instructed to let it slip that she's very sick. So during this conversation, we get a call, and it's presumably from Amanda's oncologist's office. And there's a woman on the other line speaking to Allison, and she's like, oh, hello, is Amanda Woodward available? And, you know, of course, like, she's like, I'm sorry, she's out of the office today. Well, do you know where I may reach her? I'm calling from her oncologist's office, and I have some news I must get to her immediately. And Allison, like, puts the phone down, looks over at Billy, and is like, it's Amanda's doctor's office. What do? Should I tell them where she is? And then he's like, yeah, it's her doctor. Yeah.
I guess so. If it's her doctor.
Go ahead. And then she's like, oh, hello. Yeah. Amanda's actually staying at this specific hotel in Santa Barbara. You can ring her there. And it's kind of like, wouldn't you just take a message and then call her?
Yeah, I'm like, I will get to her. I'll. That's a great point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, let me get your name and number. I'll get in contact with them, and then they'll call you.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's weird that she would give away her location, but she does.
They're bumbling idiots.
Maybe Amanda's right.
They are. Like, they are fucking stupid.
Every time she leaves the office, something really weird does happen.
Like, you could call D&D and be like, hello, this is the special people. we need to know your secrets.
Can you please give me D&D's bank account over the phone and all of the...
Allison, like, covers up the mic of the phone. Like,
Billy.
Hey, Billy, they want our bank stuff. Should we?
Yeah, I guess if they ask for it, just give them the bank account numbers.
Did they say they were special people? Yes, that's exactly what they said. Okay, well then, yeah, just give it to them. Oh, can you order some more Chinese too?
Yeah, so she's giving away Amanda's location. And then, of course, we see the person on the other end of the phone is, in fact, Kimberly Shaw.
Dun, dun, dun. So, we go to Jane and Jake, hitting it off at Jane's place for dinner. And they, like, Jake is just, like, so moved by how quickly this is, like, normal for them. To, like, be so, like, into each other.
Like, comfortable. They're going to have dinner together. They start kissing. And then the phone rings over at Jane's apartment. They let it go to voicemail. They let it go to the answering machine, I should say. And so the person that is calling is Sydney, and she leaves a message.
This is a very great thing because we know now that there is another bar in Los Angeles.
Can you believe it? It's called Palomino.
The old Palomino. It's a tough bar.
It's a biker bar.
And Sydney, she calls, and it's clearly a ploy for attention.
Absolutely. So Sydney knows that Jake is over at Jane's apartment, and if she leaves this message, she's going to be in earshot of Jake, and it's going to lure him out to her.
Hey, Jane. Could you help me? Like, my car broke down, and then there's, like, all these guys, and one showed me his dick, and like, the other one wants to give me a beer. I think I'll talk to him. He has one eye, and, like, he has a gun in my head. Is that weird?
I'm at this weird bar called Palomino's, and I don't know what to do. And so Jake is, like, very distracted. He's hearing this. He pulls away from Jane. He's, like, looking at the answering machine, like, looking at Jane, like, should we pick it up? And she's like, no, just, like, let it go. She's fine. And then Jake's like, no, Palomino's is a really rough place. We can't let Sydney be there by herself.
This is, seriously, this is, like, kryptonite to Superman. Like, he is crippled by the need to help.
Honestly.
And save.
He is pulled away from Jane.
He is the superhero.
He answers the phone, and he's like, Sydney, you just stay right where you are. I'm on my way now.
And he's like, don't talk to any of those freaks.
And Jane I would be very upset if that happened. I mean, there's no discussion. There's no, like, okay, well, you know, maybe you should go or shouldn't go. It's like, I don't care. I'm going to get her.
And dude, from Jane's perspective, do you know how many of her men have just up and left for Sydney?
All of them.
All of them.
That would be deal breaker. Like, okay, bye.
Another one.
Great.
Another one is going to run after my kid's sister. Like, if Sid was super in trouble, call the cops. Just call the cops, man.
Not Jake. Come on, Dan.
Sydney's kind of making a point for bitch of the week right now, man. Because they just saved her from a cult.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go, Sid. Yeah. They fucking drove 20 goddamn hours and saved her life.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well.
I don't know.
It's what have you done for me lately, Dan, okay?
Yeah, it's like,
that's in the rear view now.
What more do you want? So Jake is on a mission. He has to go save her. Now, Amanda and Michael are back at the resort. And they are in the hot tub, just cozy as fuck.
Did you see how strange this hotel room is? Because this is in their room.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Because
what?
Okay.
I thought it.
No, Dan.
No, it's not.
I think it's in their room. It's in their room, babe. Okay. Because when they first.
I thought it was like a.
No.
Like
listen.
A pool, like a.
No. You know? Listen. When they first go in, they're taken to their room by like a bellman. And they go into this. It's like a seating area.
I'd be like, I've been here before.
It's a seating area, and it faces this weird glass atrium that has the jacuzzi in it. So it's like they come in when they it's first tiled, have that convert, but it's in like you'll see. Because remember that Amanda like jumps up and she goes to the couch and she starts gathering all of her stuff.
Oh,
it's the weirdest layout of a hotel room I've ever seen.
Yeah, it looked like it's a like public
in
gym.
This, yes, like
jacuzzi.
Yes,
like that would be in a gym.
I'm telling you, if someone correct me if I'm wrong, but it really looks like they enter into this like this bellman shows them in, and they're like, okay, well here's your room, and it's like a seating area that looks into this weird glass.
They like, love the glass room. Effect. That is so strange. That's their room.
Dan, I really think it is. It's because then they're like, okay, so we'll get to it. So they're in this little like jacuzzi hot tub. They're sitting there. They're like relaxing. And then Amanda's like, oh, Michael, you're right. This place is such a godsend. You know, I've really come to depend on you over these past few weeks. And then they start kissing and they start getting close. And then they hear a noise. And this is another reason why I think this is their room. Because they're like, wait, what? Who is that? What's that? And it startles them. If it wasn't a public place, why would they be so startled that someone is like
of a sound,
like entering? Because this is supposed to be their room. So then we see Kimberly has come to confront them. They ask, how did you get into our room? And she's like, well, I am Mrs. Michael Mancini. All I had to do was tell the front desk that they gave me a key.
So anyone can just be like, oh, I'm
This was 95, Dan.
I'm John Smith's wife.
Very lax.
Oh, you lax. Are? Here you go. And so, yeah, so Kimberly emerges again.
Now, in her hand is a floor lamp, and she is holding it threateningly over the jacuzzi hot tub, and she looks at them and she says, give me one reason why I shouldn't drop this in right now.
And they jump up like it's a gun.
Well, Dan.
Could this, like, light them up?
It would electrocute them, yes.
For real?
Yes, for real.
All right. I mean, just a lamp? I thought you'd have to put like something
good.
More in it.
Like what?
I don't know. Like more lamps?
Like a live wire. No, yeah. I think it... I'm not sure, like... I am not entirely sure, but I think it's probably not a good thing to be in a body of water when an electrical device is dropped into it.
Mm.
So... Amanda jumps up immediately and she's like, this is ridiculous. You are such a liar, Michael.
Michael jumps up like Kimberly has never seen him shirtless before.
Well, okay, you said that, but well, you know what I think, Dan?
Huh.
I think he had an erection.
That he had,
yeah, because he grabs a towel. Like, first, she feigns like she's gonna drop the lamp into the water, and then he, like struggles to try to get out, and he, like, jumps to the other side of the jacuzzi. She doesn't drop it, and then she just starts laughing at him, and she's like, look at you, you soaking wet, pathetic, philandering bastard.
But she drops the lamp, and it breaks on one surface. On the surface outside of the hot tub.
Mm.
So I think that...
He tries to get away from
that. He tries to get back into the tub because then he thinks that the lamp has charged the outer surface. Because the outer surface of the pool, of the hot tub was wet.
Yeah, so then he grabs a towel and then he tries...
covering up his nipples.
No, I think he's trying to like cover up the fact that he probably has an erection.
No, because it's all high.
Okay, I don't know, Dan.
He, like, tries to put it on like a toga.
There's no reason why he would be covering up his chest. I don't know.
And then they cut to Amanda, who is like in her bathing suit, still wet, and she's just packing. She just starts packing her clothes. Yeah. She doesn't need any sort of explanation. She's just like, I'm out. What is this? But Kimberly is just straight up nearly attempting to murder them. In the hot tub.
Michael is trying to think fast. He goes to his like go to like, yeah, well, honey, why don't you just go home and we'll cool off a little bit and then I'll meet you there. I'll meet you at the beach house. We can talk about everything. We can go over this. This is not what it looks like. It's fine. And then Kimberly is just like, how I could even want you after this is a mystery to me. But she's like, you know what? I'm going to leave. Seeing the two of you together has made me sick to my stomach. And then she leaves. And then Amanda says, I have no tolerance for liars. Life is too short, Michael, especially mine.
I'm surprised that they don't physically fight. I think Kimberly could beat the shit out of Amanda.
Amanda's real spry, though.
I don't know.
She's real, like...
I think Kimberly just get a hold of her and just start beating her face in.
I feel like Amanda's a like real dynamite spark plug kind of a person, but Kimberly is very like intense.
Kimberly's like, a key your car type chick.
But I feel like Kimberly's the strangle you and look into your eyes while your life slowly slips away. And Amanda's the type of person that just will like try to like jab you in the face as hard as she can and run.
I think Amanda's the charge pressing type. Like if you pushed her, she'd be like, I'm going to sue your pants off of you. I'm going to tie you up in litigations. Yeah.
So we jump back over now to the Palomino, the bar where Sydney is hanging out by her lonesome. She's not lonely for long. However, she saddles up to a group of cowboys and she asks, well, which one of you is going to buy my drink?
And all these dudes are like,
oh, me, please.
They're looking at her like a freaking steak dinner, like salivating, like, what's up, girl? And like, she's getting noticed. By Cal.
Yeah, she's getting flirty with this dude named Cal.
He's played by Mick Murray. He's known for Cop Rock, the complete series. Do you remember Cop Rock?
Is that a legit question?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I really do. It's from 1990. It was like a police show that was like a musical.
What?
Cop Rock. Yeah.
I'm not going to say I don't like the idea, but I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with it.
He was on Angel in 2000. Malcolm and Eddie, episode of Beverly Hills 90210. Not much else.
So the MC at Palomino's announces that it's time for the famous black bra contest. Yeah, and immediately, all these hussies go up onto the stage and they start removing their clothes one by one. We have the camera panning over a line of ladies and they're just ripping off their blouses to reveal lacy dark black bras under their clothes.
And is this like what edgy bars do? Is this a thing?
This is so stupid. And then all the guys that are surrounding Sydney are like, oh, you should get up there, little sweetheart. Let's go see your black bra going up on the stage, honey.
Represent this side of the room for us, will you? And so they like throw her up on stage and start ripping her shirt off.
Yeah, and they even use the term, get your hooters up here.
Get your hooters up here. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, she is basically being sexually assaulted in a public place. And Jake arrives just in time.
And he just walks straight in, picks her up off of the stage, throws her over his shoulder, and he's like, we're out of here.
He walks out. On the way, Sydney looks up to her basically attackers and gives them a little wave like, see you later, cowboys.
Bye, boys. Then they get out in the parking lot And Cal ain't done with old Jakey Poo. He goes, "Where the hell you think you're taking my girl?" And Jake gives him a shot. He's like, "Hey, we're done here. We're going home. I suggest you back away."
And then Cal says, "I spent $20 on that bitch, and she's going to make it worth my while."
He puts his boot on Jake's bike, and then Jake is like, all right, it's time for you to go. And then he punches Jake in the face. And then, of course, Jake going to kick that ass.
So he gets up. You think Jake may be down for the count, but he's not, guys. He's back in action, and he just starts pummeling this guy. And
this the guy's like gets punched. He's just like, ugh.
So this is dazed. Something that I just love to see in these kinds of shows when a stuntman is getting punched and like he's getting like beat up. It's like, there's these moments when the person that's like punching the guy, like where he's setting up the punch, and then the guy that is getting punched has to act like they're like dazed, so, or
like stunned,
like a dead fish almost, where they're just kind of like flopping around like, and then while the other guy's getting ready to punch him, it's the most unnatural, weird chain of events that you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, basically, Cal is not even defending himself. He's like, while Jake
just
is
like in a trance.
Yeah, while Jake is like winding up to hit him, he's like just like
wobbling.
Yeah, like whoa. And then Jake delivers a couple punches, and then he's out cold on the ground.
Puts him on his ass. So we leave them. Sydney is safe for now. Amanda comes to Allison's place the next day and asks her if she is totally incompetent.
So, like, okay, let's set the stage here. It's Allison's apartment. She opens the door, sees Amanda. Allison could not be more sunny and friendly, going, "Amanda, how are you?" And then Amanda immediately cuts her off and asks the question, "Are you totally incompetent?"
I didn't even know what this is about.
Or, "Are you just out to get me? How in the world did Kimberly Shaw know where I was?"
Oh.
And so Allison is like, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. The only person who I told where you were was the nurse from your doctor's office."
And her doctor's office is Wilshire Memorial Emergency Room?
And
like, what?
Did Kimberly ever say that she was a nurse? Or was it because she was a woman?
Ooh.
Ooh, she could have been the doctor. She just said, "I'm calling from your oncologist's office."
Yeah.
95. Of course, Amanda kind of sees her side of things. And she's like, "Well, tell me you arranged the limo for tonight. At least you're not totally worthless." I mean, this is some stuff that like is so demoralizing to a person. And then Allison wants to just make sure that Amanda knows, no matter what happens, Amanda, like no matter what happens in our personal lives, I just want you to know that professionally, I intend to be there for you.
I won't let you down.
I'm not going to screw you over.
And that leads me to believe that you will screw her over. So now Michael comes home to poor, sweet, sweet, defeated little Kimberly.
She's laying in bed. She's crying. And guys, there's like tear stains on her pillow, like for real. Kimberly looks like a totally different person without makeup on.
Mm-hmm. And Michael comes over to the bed and asks her if she's okay. And he says he spent the night in Santa Barbara, just figured that Kimberly could use the time alone, and he puts this spin on the entire situation.
Yeah, it's very clever.
It's like, Amanda is just, you know, a frightened woman.
He tells her, "Listen, Kimberly, I want to explain something to you, but listen, hear me out before you say anything."
Amanda's a very frightened woman.
Amanda is terrified that her life is ending, and she's become fixated on me. It is a classic case of transference. And I'll admit, I did participate in that. I felt that if I didn't return her advances, it would affect her treatment. And I am just...
a fucking slime ball, man.
I know that I did the wrong thing. I was just trying to save this woman's life, Kimberly.
And they keep cutting to Kimberly just like laying in the bed like, oh my God.
And tonight I am going to go to her and I'm going to tell her to let go of these fantasies. Now, Kimberly looks over at him and she's like, do what you have to do, Michael. And he takes that as like, okay, she approves of this. And he's very happy. And he's like, oh, Kimberly, thank you so much for being understanding. You're the best, babe. And he's about to walk away. And then she grabs his arm.
But she says she knows. This is so, it's so defeat, like a defeat moment for Kimberly. Because she says she knows all of Michael's faults mm-hmm. like no one else does. And
I know what you've done. And you'll probably do it again.
It's this attitude of like, there's no one else for me and you can just do what you want, but just know I'll be here.
Well, don't leave me. I guess she says, I still love you. No one else is going to let you be as true to yourself as me.
She begs him. She says, please don't leave me.
And it is very sad. What do you mean?
She could find somebody else.
Well, okay, she has a moment
fucking doctor.
Of weakness.
You seen that house?
But you know what? It's just sometimes people that are in high positions like that don't really see their
self-worth.
Yeah. She loves Michael, and she wants Michael. So you're right. She does beg for him to stick by her.
It's pathetic. So now Jane and Jake. Jane comes to Jake's door. She's got on these tight blues, really featured the thigh gap for these. Really accentuates that thigh gap on Jane that Jenny so eloquently pointed out during the...
Usually you're the one that points out stuff like that, but...
Yeah, I'm usually on crotch watch. Jenny's stepping up, substituting.
Just something so weird about this, the look of it. I don't know what like, it is.
If Jane is standing in front of you, you could make out like people behind her through the thigh gap.
That's really weird.
You really could.
She's going to confront Jake about what happened last night. Jake, you know, sees her standing on his doorstep and apologizes for not coming back to the apartment last night. And Jane says, yeah, I was worried. What happened?
Mm. And Jake is just like, look, I can't let, you know, somebody in need like go unnoticed.
Yeah. Jake says, look, when I got there, some good old guys were pawing her and I had to get her out of there. And then Jane says, oh yeah, you had to defend her honor.
Yeah.
And that's what she's then.
And Jake makes excuses for her. He's like, well, you know, it's Sid being Sid.
And then Jane says, you know, that's the difference. I don't participate in her little charades. Look, it's obvious to me that you have unresolved feelings for her. And even if there is a sliver of truth to that statement, I don't think that we should be involved. And
it's tough. Tough
Jake, of course, he hears that and he is at first denying, no, I don't feel anything for her. And then he says, well, that sounds like an ultimatum to me.
Jake hates ultimatums. We should have added that to the poll.
Yeah.
He hates money. He hates work. And he hates guns.
And he hates ultimatums.
Can't stand ultimatums.
Yeah. And then Jane says, well, yeah, kind of is. It is an ultimatum. And he's like, okay, well, we're not going to go any further with this then. Yeah. We're done.
And just like that, done.
Done.
Thought we'd get a sex scene at least.
Nope.
Do you think they'd had sex?
I don't. I think they probably would have led to sex had Sydney not called.
Right.
And thwarted their little romance.
Mm.
It's war, Dan.
So they just did some hookups. Maybe the sex will come in the war. You know? And then Jake will be mad and be like, I'm not a pawn. I'm not a pawn in your little war game. So now we go to Amanda's apartment. Allison looks like she's in Jedi robes.
I do not get this.
She looks straight out of Star Wars.
Why? Why in the world would a beautiful 20-something young professional decide to wear the grandmother of the bride funeral outfit?
Do not know.
Why? It is beyond me. Amanda, on the other hand, looks like she's the flower girl. She's wearing, I don't know if this was a conscious decision from wardrobe. Amanda's wearing this like flowy, pastel, light pink, very fun, hip, summery, young, fresh dress. And Allison seriously looks like she's going to a funeral and she's covered from her neck to the tips of her toes.
It's straight up Return of the Jedi. Fucking use the Force, Allison. What is happening?
It's very weird. So Allison goes to like check on Amanda. And I don't know where this concern from Amanda is coming from, for Amanda is coming from with Allison, but she just wants to make sure Amanda's okay. And while Allison is there in the apartment, Amanda gets a phone call and it's Michael.
And Michael, he's like, hey, I am gonna be your escort to the awards. And he says he's breaking it off with Kimberly. They're moving out. Sounds exactly what he said to
Kimberly. All of them.
To Kimberly about Jane.
All of them. You know? So he is in Malibu at his beach house and he tells Amanda to be ready because he is coming in a limo in 15 minutes to pick her up.
My note is impossible.
Even on the best day of traffic, that would never happen.
Ever.
Ever.
And then like, so
he's not even in the limo yet.
Yeah, he's not even ready. He's like 15 minutes for sure.
And then, okay, so he hangs up the phone. Kimberly is just like lingering in the bedroom like, who was that? And then Michael's got a tuxedo on and he's like, oh yeah, hey babe, that was just Amanda. You know, before we had our little talk the other day, I told Amanda that I'd be her escort to this award ceremony. This is it, okay, honey? I'm going to this thing. I'm going to tell her it's over. I'm not going to talk to her anymore after that. Strictly professional, but you know, I got to do this.
Like, I don't believe it from Kimberly.
I'm like, and then Kimberly's like, well, you just got to promise me that this is the last time you're going to be seeing her like this. Oh, you got it, sweetie. I promise you.
Like, could you imagine me like leaving like very well dressed and like all like uppity, like making calls and like getting limos to the house? And then you're like, hey, where are you going? And I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to this shitty, stupid thing that like,
I'm going to an award ceremony with this other woman.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit.
Oh, you know, the woman that you just caught me a couple days ago in a jacuzzi making out with. It's that one.
Yeah, but I don't care about
it. I mean, but like, it's nothing serious. I'd be like,
you'd be like, go to hell.
Are on some other level.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no shot. There's no chance.
It's crazy. And she just thinks that she's like, well, I think your pumpkin's out front, referring to the limo. And it's like, how can you be so cavalier about this?
And she's laughed. She's like, oh, Amanda couldn't get a date? Yeah. Like making fun of her. Well, meanwhile, it's like, yo, your man's a date.
Yeah, she got a date, all right. It is your husband.
It's very it's flip-flopped from how she was at the beginning of the episode, where she's like, call fucking 1-800, get your own man. Now she's like taking the orders on the, like, how many Michaels do you need?
It's
very
strange.
You want him to go to your baptism?
So it's later that evening and Sydney has visited Jake to apologize for him having to rescue her that night.
And she just rolls into his place with a grocery bag full of steak, beer, and
Lakers on TV.
Yeah, she's like, she's going to do this like dinner at home shtick.
And Jake is like, oh, thanks, Sid. And he promptly takes the bag out of her arms and then just turns her back around to the front door and ushers her out. And she's like, oh, but Jake, there's enough for both of us. I got enough food for two. And he's like, you know what? That's fine. I'm really hungry tonight. I'll be eating for two. And then like he just
fucked up,
shuts the door.
And she just takes it. That's what I don't get. The Sydney I know and love would have like banged down the door and been like, Jake, get my food.
Well, but you know what? She's made her point because on the way out, she runs into Jane and mm-hmm. she tells Jane, oh, yeah, I just dropped off some food for a dinner with Jake. We're going to make it together. And then Jane is like, you know what, Sydney? I've stopped to see Jake, and it's not because of you in any way, shape, or form. We both just mutually decided that we don't want to see each other anymore. And then Sydney says, oh, wow, well, you may design clothes with sex appeal, but you don't exactly have any.
Ouch. But I disagree. Jane's hot.
So Sydney wins. She wins this round. Jane feels a little dejected, I'm sure, and she kind of walks away like, great, I do suck.
Poor Jane.
We are back with Allison and Billy and Michael and Amanda. They're all seated together at the same table at the Century Awards for ad agencies to recognize the... the spectacular work that all the ad agencies of Los Angeles have done. I don't even know what this is for.
The Print Ad Awards. And the host of the award show is Chuck Woolery, who is playing himself.
Oh.
He was the original originally set his sights on a career in the music industry, but had a change of heart when he joined the U.S. Navy instead. And Chuck Woolery is the host of The Love Connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he makes a couple of like dumb jokes that are alluding to his career. And he's like, okay, guys, this is it. The moment you've all been waiting for. We are going to announce the winner of the best print ad campaign of the year. So he announces all of the contestants, if you will, all of the contenders. And one, of course, is Amanda Woodward. But then to Amanda's surprise, Allison Parker is in this category as well. Now she looks back and shoots Allison that like, I'm going to kill you look. Like, how dare you? She's like, of all the heartless things you could ever do, this is really topping it. So we're getting close to Chuck announcing who the winner is. And we're kind of jumping back and forth between Allison and Amanda close-ups. Allison is sitting there like begging, praying, please don't let me win. Please don't let me win. While Amanda is just like, oh, that bitch better not win. She better not win.
This bitch.
And then Chuck announces the winner for the best print ad of 1994 is Allison Parker.
Allison Parker
of D&D for the Glorious Gowns campaign. So Allison kind of has to struggle here. I mean, she feels as though I'm sure she has betrayed her boss. But at the same time, this is a huge honor for her. She's shocked. She's surprised. She is flattered. And she goes up to accept the award. She has a couple little like, I wasn't expecting this. I want to thank my partner, Billy Campbell, and the great graphics design and design team at D&D. Now, Amanda's had enough. During this speech, she gets up and she's like, Michael, let's get out of here. This sucks. Mm-hmm. So they're walking out. And then
as Allison is like saying nice things about Amanda.
And I also want to thank Amanda Woodward, my mentor. She says something like that, and Amanda's just like rolls her eyes and goes out of the room.
And did you take notice of Brooke and Billy?
Of course I did.
So as soon as Allison wins, she sits right on next to Billy.
So, of course, Brooke knew that this was coming. And what I thought was weird, too, while Chuck is talking and like like ramping up, like vamping as to like who's going to be the winner. We see Brooke get up from where she's sitting, walks like over to the table where Allison is seated. And then as soon as Allison is called up to receive the award, she then takes Allison's seat at the table and snuggles up to Billy. And she's like, I just knew she was going to win. She's great.
Mm-hmm.
The final scene of this episode is Amanda out in the like pre-function space of where the awards are happening in like the little ballroom, and Michael's behind her and she's just beside herself. I mean, she did not see this coming. Throughout the entire episode, she kept saying, well, I'm a shoo-in for the winner. I'm going to win. She was very confident going into this, that this would be her big win. And she's almost brought to tears and she looks at Michael and says, is this how it's going to happen? I lose everything all at once. And then Michael looks at her and he's like, you're not going to lose everything, Amanda. I love you. I love you like I've loved, like I've loved no one else before. Not Jane, not Kimberly. You're not going to lose me. I promise.
Mm. And she is buying what he's selling.
And that is
moment.
A very big promise to tell someone who's dying. And I promise I'm not going to leave you. Oh, Michael.
Don't write checks your ass can't cash.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so to recap, Michael and Amanda go to Santa Barbara for some R&R.
Allison screws up at work, has to meet up with Brooke where she nominates herself for an award.
Kimberly crashes Michael and Amanda's party. Billy and Allison kiss over Chinese food.
Jane and Jake get super close, but then they break it off.
Because Sydney puts on her damsel in distress act to lure Jake away from Jane. Kimberly forgives Michael. Jane and Jake break up. Allison wins the Century Award for Best Print Ad over Amanda. And Michael professes his love for Amanda.
90s moments. I've got 1-800 numbers in general.
Of course, I got that too. Another thing I saw was the travel brochure for Maui to be like, oh, look at this paper brochure that I picked up at a travel agent.
Yeah, today you would just send a link.
Yeah.
Check out this place. Looks dope.
Sydney's wide leg jeans that she's rocking while she's working at Shooters.
Ooh. Car broke down. Being an issue. Get an Uber. Car broke down. I'd be like, oh, I'll call you an Uber.
Yeah, you're fine. Just leave it there. We'll get it in the morning.
Yeah, you're good.
Brooke telling Allison that she could fax her submission form if she'd like.
Michael and Kimberly's TV and stand.
Yeah, the rolling TV on the cart.
It's like an 8-inch television.
Well, because it's there because they don't have it like on a place where they could watch it while in bed. So it's like there to roll it while it's in use and then
and
put
roll
it, away
it away
when they're not using it.
So strange.
I have Brooke's fuzzy sweater. And we kind of saw that Joe was kind of rocking that too. This is around when Clueless came out and they had a lot of those like fuzzy sweaters. They're like hairy almost.
Yeah.
I can't even explain it. It like almost looks like there's like an aura around the sweater because it's like all of this like an inch of fuzz is coming off of it.
Like a glow.
Yeah.
The hotel decor at the retreat.
Yeah. And then I have Amanda's high-cut bathing suit.
Oh, yeah. Hella 90s.
Yeah. That's coming back, though.
Is that all you got?
That's it.
All right. All of these episodes, deep down, have a lesson that we can take away and apply to our daily lives. Jenny, what's your lesson?
If you want to win an award, you turn in your own submission form, okay?
Yeah, don't leave it up to someone
else. Don't delegate it out to somebody else. If it's really that important to you, you know, you make sure that you get it done right.
Yeah, it's a good lesson.
How about you?
You know, I can't. This is my lesson for like season three, period. Just seriously, never tell Billy and Allison secret information. You can't. Anything. It's getting like ridiculous how much they just, how loose-lipped they are.
Loose lips sink ships.
They really do. Mm-hmm. And they're sinking D&D.
They're the cause for that catastrophic Titanic.
Yet somehow crash. Allison wins best ad.
She's on top, Dan.
What the hell? That's my lesson. So now it is time for
Bitch of the Week!
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch, bitch.
Okay, bitch, guys. Bitch, bitch, bitch. Last week, this was a tough one. It was Allison versus Kimberly. Jenny, you said Allison, I said Kimberly. And I've tallied up our Facebook group, our Twitter, and our Instagram for a total of 30 to 57.
What?
Landslide victory for none other than the queen bitch herself, Kimberly Shaw. Kimberly Shaw Mancini. Or Mancini Shaw. Does she go by Mancini? She did say
several times she alluded to the fact that she's Mrs. Michael Mancini.
Mm. So Kimberly wins it. Let's hear what you guys had to say about it.
Okay, so Alyssa kicks us off and says, definitely Allison. Thank you, Alyssa. There will be plenty more opportunities to vote for Kimberly, LOL. But speaking as someone who works in the medical field, Allison has committed a major HIPAA violation by telling everybody about Amanda's cancer. What a bitch. Mm-hmm. I think she was still trying to get back at her for what happened with Chaz, or how horrible she treated her when she was going through her alcoholism. Allison had a number of reasons to screw her over like that.
Donald says, sorry about the spoiler. I'm kind of hoping they come back to resolve this storyline. I'm not sure. Maybe the internet lied anyway. Oh my God. I can't believe you guys did not nominate John Rawlings. I mean, come on. He almost killed Matt and Joe. This is why I feel this way. Allison thought she was doing the right thing by trying to save the account. Yes, she should have called Amanda, but she was doing what she thought was right at the time. And Kimberly is going to do way worse stuff later on. I mean, this guy was crazy. You guys said so yourself. I mean, he breaks into Matt's house and threatens them with a gun. I mean, come on. He's the total bitch of this episode. So unfortunately, I can't vote for either.
Aww.
Either one of your picks this week, because I don't think that they were the biggest bitches of the episode.
You know, Donald, you pled a very good case.
Hmm.
John Rawlings was a straight up bitch.
A side comment from Zach under Donald's was, spoiler alert, they are referenced in the 2009 series in a flashback where Sydney infers to them being after her for revenge.
Oh,
wow.
Can't wait to see that.
We won't.
We got to, well.
Well, maybe we will.
We will. But we'll see it in like 6 years. So, yeah. Okay. Kevin says, great cases for both nominees.
Thank you, Kevin.
But I think I'll go with Allison. Whoop, whoop. Not only for committing a serious HIPAA violation, but mostly for stinking up Amanda's office with all of that takeout food. Was that necessary? But I kind of blame Billy for that. Me too. So maybe he's the real bitch of this episode. Either way, I can't wait for your commentary on how the rest of the season pans out. It's going to get crazy. And this is barely the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, shit. Noah says, Kimberly only gets worse from here, folks.
Yes.
So I'm not wasting my vote on her this week. My vote goes to Allison for pulling an Allison. This is typical Allison behavior. Do something stupid, think your behavior is totally fine, and then huff and puff with mouth agape when people tell you that you screwed up. but Amanda, I did it for you and the company. I can practically hear her whining to Amanda in the next episode. But you didn't, bitch. You did it for yourself because you thought your plan would work and make you look good. For a smart person, Allison has zero common sense. Honorable bitch mention should go to her partner in crime, Billy, for enabling this kind of behavior for much of the series and this episode in particular. Mm,
good stuff. Michael says, both of the nominees this week were wrong.
Jesus, God, but I don't like the scrutiny. All right? I leave it in there. You can nominate your own people every week.
Oh, stop. Come on. But I think because of intent, I would have to give my vote to Kimberly. Yes, I'm well aware she gets worse, but honestly, so does Allison. Because Allison had fully convinced herself that she was doing what was good for the company and somehow saw nothing wrong / unethical about her actions. I will give her a, in parentheses, very rare pass because she was merely being her usual idiotic self. I think her intentions were in the right place, but her actions were downright wrong as hell. Kimberly, however, had one thing on her mind: deliberate, calculated, life-endangering sabotage, all because of her insane jealousy of Amanda and, okay, pretty justified, suspicion of Michael. The story she came up with for Dr. Seal was the work of a true psychopath. Like, who comes up with this convoluted craziness? Oh yeah, Kimberly Shaw. And how is she going to be so cavalier on the phone conversation with Amanda as she uses bad choices of words so blithely and then lying that the woman is terminal, and then taking such glee at the idea of her evil plans actually being semi-successful. Kimberly is a devious, psychotic, amorable bitch. Ew, amoral bitch.
Mm. Christina Lopez commented on that. Oi, they're both awful. I was waffling on my vote, but you have decided it for me. Kimberly is the ultimate B. Excellent argument.
Yeah, Christina. We love you.
Love.
Zach says, this is old hat for Kimberly, putting patients' lives at risk to take a shot at Michael. I would vote for Allison, but it seems very clear that she had Amanda's best interests at heart here. It should have been Detective Rawlings. I bet you, as well as having a coke problem, he also has severe halitosis. Was all up in Matt's face in that one scene. But I guess my vote is going to the Crow. That dramatic turnaround when she heard Amanda's voice on the phone was super bitchy. She's such a bitch in all the best ways.
Nikki says, Allison. Not because she outed Amanda's cancer, but because she left garbage all over Amanda's office like a heathen. She already has cancer. She doesn't want to pick up you and Billy's old-ass Chinese food containers. Worse, she reminded Billy of their all-nighters, insinuating Billy has some long-lasting sex moves. No, no. Billy cannot last all night. I refuse to believe that. I think the alcohol has distorted Allison's memory.
That is great. Heatherina says, Allison wins it this week. Now, I am leaving out the fact that HIPAA was not implemented until 1996, a year after the episode aired. Mm. However, I'm sure that the D&D handbook would be against employees disclosing Amanda's diagnosis to a client, and HR would get involved. This is a fireable offense for Allison because she told confidential medical information to a client to save their account after she messed up. Having worked in various sectors of medical law, the line is often blurry in regards to coworkers, but only as a need-to-know basis. However, Allison used Amanda's illness for personal gain for a client. That is a violation in which HR would get involved. Basically, Allison is like, I messed up, but Amanda has cancer, so don't leave. The real fact is, Allison sucks at her job, and she often goes over Amanda's head without any positive results. She's not a good leader. She wants to be good at her job, but she doesn't have the right leadership in Amanda. But explanation is for another episode. So instead of going back to the drawing board and coming back with an ad campaign that's going to wow the cruise line, Allison's defense was Amanda's got cancer, which has nothing to do with the campaign and everything to do with her skills as an ad executive. Her client was right to pull their campaign. There will be other moments to vote for Kimberly, so I'm voting for Allison.
Well, everyone looks like everyone commented Allison, but the votes don't support it.
The votes paint a different picture.
That's right. That's right. All you got to do is say Kimberly and you win, because they're like, oh, yep, queen bitch.
Exactly.
She's the shit. So this week... I'm going first.
All right, Daniel, who are you nominating?
Well, this week, it was a tough one between Michael and Allison. You know, Michael's a bitch for so many different reasons. But I think I need to go with Allison.
What?
Allison for Bitch of the Week for nominating herself for an award. Like, it's never just for a nomination. Like, people say that, like, oh, well, you know, just being nominated is an honor. Not if you nominate yourself. You nominate yourself because you want to then win. So, like, you're only fooling yourself. That is really fucked up to do. You know, Amanda straight up looked at you and was like, put it in and let it slip that I have cancer because I really need this one.
Yeah.
I'm hurting, man, and I might die. So help a sister out. Then she looked at Amanda and was like, I promise I've got your back. And you know that you're nominated for an award tonight. Like, so fucked up. Then you win, and like the first word out of your mouth isn't, this belongs to Amanda Woodward. I cannot accept this. Like, that's what you should have said. Instead, you get up there and you're like, oh, well, I want to thank, you know, the moon, the stars, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. Oh, yeah, and that chick just walking out. Yeah, thanks, Amanda. Fucked up. You're the bitch of this week.
I totally disagree with you, Dan.
Great. That's what this is about.
My nomination... is Amanda Woodward.
She has cancer, Jenny.
Okay, I do not care. If you have cancer, it does not give you a license to be a complete and utter bitch to everybody that you interact with. Case in point, she knows Michael is married. She knows he's married. And guess what? I think she probably also knows that Michael is a lying, cheating jerk. She's seen it happen time and time again with Jane, all of the drama with Sydney, and now Kimberly. Okay, she was on the periphery of all of that. But the thing is, this is a married man, and she is deciding to carry on with him in an extramarital way. And I think that, number one, is a bitchy thing to do. Of course... she does not have any allegiance to Kimberly, but just the fact that you know this man is married and you're going to continue to see him in the way that you are, that's bitchy. Then the way she treats her employees, the things that she says to poor Billy and poor Allison, wouldn't you want to lash out at that bitch and win the award? Okay, to give her a little bit of your own medicine, she's always cutting them down. Always criticizing them and name calling. It's far worse than just saying, hey, you're not doing a satisfactory job here. It's you're worthless. You're terrible. Like, these are words that she's used to them. And then, okay, Allison nominates herself, but she wins. And you know what, Amanda? Maybe your ad campaign wasn't better. Maybe Allison's was. Maybe the industry recognized that, and you're being a sore loser right now. Maybe you need to recognize that you're not hot shit, that you think you're awesome and great, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're not the best. It was her original ad campaign with Franklin Cruise Lines that did want the client to come in and try to work up a new idea for a cruise line. That initial idea wasn't Billy and Allison's. They tried to save it and did a horrible job of it. But maybe Amanda's slipping, and then she's taking it out on her employees. So for all of those reasons, she's my bitch of this week.
Damn. All right. You guys know where to go. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Vote for bitch of the week. So this episode was called, and the winner is, let's rename it.
I'm going to rename this episode Electric Hot Tub.
Okay.
Obvious reasons. A lot of electrifying events happened in the hot tub and people almost died because of them.
I'm renaming this one, and the loser is...
Oh! Clever.
There's a lot of losers. Predictions. What do you think's going to happen to these folks?
Well, I think that Amanda and Michael are going to get deeper and deeper into this crazy relationship. And I think Kimberly is going to have to go up to her old tricks and show them what's what. I think we're going to see some crazy things from Kimberly, maybe sabotaging Amanda's treatment at the hospital to try to kill her. I wouldn't put it past her. I think that, of course, Billy and Allison are going to get back together and they're going to have this like little reprieve of their romance. I think that all the other characters need to have some kind of storyline. They need to have something else going on here. I don't know what's going to happen with Jake or Sydney or any of those other peeps, but maybe Brooke is going to come in and get with Jake or something.
Mm. Okay.
What about you?
Well, I think this definitely gets Allison fired, but not before she shows Brooke how to do her job and gets replaced. By Brooke. And then Billy and Brooke start doing the nasty.
Oh.
I think Kimberly starts sending dead animals to D&D. And I think Kimberly starts getting physical with Michael. Just like punching him in the face like randomly. Like Michael gets in the elevator and she just like whaps him with a clipboard in his face. Like she needs to get a spine there. I think Jane and Sydney go at each other's throats. I think they get to just, it's just one after another. Like, I did this to you. Well, I'm going to do this to you. Well, I did this to you. And then that'll boil up to the finale. That's what I think's going down.
Cool stuff.
Well, that's our show, folks. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. You can write us an email, melrosepod@gmail.com. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. I think you can leave a review on Spotify. We're in there. So we will see you next week.
We love Smut.
And we love you.